Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Good to be with you. Before we get into the numbers on these publicly traded companies for the year end, Market Insights LLC, Santo Dresivia, just gave me some numbers last week. It's the revenue numbers for the year end. They're still projections. They're not final, but it shows that carpet and rug, from a revenue perspective, grew 2.4%. Hardwood flooring grew 4.4%, which is way off of the projected growth. Ceramic tile wins at 6.5% growth. Resilient flooring, 3.7%, and laminate flooring down 2.2%.
Yeah, well, you know, the carpet, probably most, if not all of that, was inflation. You know, another tough unit year, a little better tone to the second half than the first. You know, and I think wood flooring is coming back a little bit with housing. Probably ceramic plays in that in terms of the new construction piece. But really waiting for that remodel piece, which I think vinyl and laminate play heavily into that. Certainly carpet plays heavily into that. And that residential remodel piece, we just really haven't seen happen yet, Kemp.
No, I know it. You know, that's what everybody's talking about, how 13 looks like it's going to be a good year. We're hearing that store traffic at retail is up, but we're still just not seeing a lot of sale numbers. So we do see on the new construction side very strong numbers. You know, so, you know, outlook is optimistic, but it's just not gangbusters yet, is it?
No, and I think it's certainly warranted on the new construction side. You know, if you look at housing completions, they're probably going to be up at least 20% this year over year. Now, that's in unit. May not be quite that good in square footage because we've done a little more multifamily activity than single family. But, you know, that piece is so depressed and such a small number, even though it's up, you know, in the 20s on a percent basis, you know, only gets us a couple, 3 points of consolidated or industry revenue, if you will. So we really need that commercial business to pick up. That's going to be, I think, a 14 event, not a 13 event. And then we need that consumer to show up. And I do think we're going to see growth year over year on the resi side, but I've seen some forecasts from some entities that project high single-digit, double-digit growth, and I just think that's way too optimistic. And certainly you can't look at data in the first, you know, say, 70 days of this year and find evidence that that's occurring.
And we still have some weather factors that I think are going to impact this first quarter.
Yeah, certainly the first quarter comparison is the toughest, with the weather being so good last year and being more typical or normal this year. So we have that tough comparison. But, yeah, I think it's right. I think attitudes are good. And but, you know, at the end of the day, we need the money, and it's all about jobs again and incomes. Most of the people aren't going to remodel floors out of stock market gains. And the real estate gains we've seen so far are a good start. I would call that a leading indicator, but we're still significantly below positive equity values for so many homeowners. And that's really, we're going to need to see a consistent rise in home prices to see, I think, consistent spending or tapping that home equity line or feeling good about spending money on the home again.
Yeah, and we've got to be cautious because some of the inventory on existing homes that's gone out of the market have been these PE firms that have gone out and bought up these houses. It's going to be interesting to see if they're going to hold them and rent them or if they're going to dump them when the market starts to recover.
Well, and that's a very interesting comment. It's certainly true. You look at some of the most ravaged areas like a Las Vegas or a Phoenix, and you read about how Phoenix is all of a sudden off the bottom and home sales there are up dramatically. You know, that's a lot of investor money. It's better that, you know, than nothing, right? That they come in and they throw a coat of paint on the, and, you know, maybe some inexpensive floor covering so they can turn around and rent it. But you know, and I know that we really want a homeowner in there. They're going to spend more money over time. You know, we're kind of delaying that home getting into the right hands. So it really isn't even recovered, quote unquote, in a market like a Phoenix, in my opinion.
Exactly. All right, let's get into Mohawk. I think very interesting. They hit a 52-week high, or actually an all-time high, as far as their value. You still have them as a buy. They're trading at about 113 now. The year-end results are about $5.7 billion in revenue.
Yeah, the move in the stock has been dramatic. A large part of it is the group being building products. Building product stocks in general have been some of the hotter names on the market, all based on the turnaround in housing and home spending. As we talked about, the construction piece has happened or is happening We're waiting for that remodel piece to kick in. And then I think some of the move, and certainly say from the 90s into these 100-plus ranges due to the three acquisitions, which I calculate will cumulatively, on a pro forma basis, add over $1 a share in earnings once we go out about, say, 12 months from ownership of all three of those properties. So a significant boost to roughly 20% on the $5 earnings we have them on 13 from acquisitions. So you've got the cycle coming back and acquisitions kicking in and, you know, a lot of earnings growth, but the stock has moved dramatically in the past 12 months.
Yeah, and DaleTowel, I guess, just like those numbers we started with to begin this interview, DaleTowel continues to be their bright spot.
Yeah, and, you know, they have a leadership position there, and it's only going to be strengthened with Marazzi. So, but, you know, a lot of that growth is coming in other parts of the world, too. It's not just the United States. And there's a huge opportunity, even though they're the leader in the world now, Marazzi, DaleTowel, pro forma. You know, they're a fractional share of the global ceramic tile market. And I think Ceramic Tile, Santo might be able to comment on this, is the fastest growing global flooring option in terms of units. So, real commitment there to the global ceramic tile market, but they do strengthen their position in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, and you know, per capita usage in the U.S. is around $7 a foot, and in Europe it's around $30. So we have a long way to go in the U.S. as far as the use of tile.
Yeah, and you know, some of that's cultural and goes deep into historical patterns that may not change quickly, but you can see the slow erosion of soft floor covering over the last 10, 20 years in the U.S. And, you know, what's interesting to me is not just ceramic tile, but you've got all these products like LVT and laminate, I suppose, that are made to look like natural, if you will, hard surface products. The technology gains continue to make inroads. It will be interesting to see if the soft revolution on carpet can sort of hold off that a little bit or swing it back in the way of carpet. That'll be worth watching because there's finally something to talk about on carpet.
All right, let's go to Interface for a minute. Interface now trading under a new symbol, Tile. Looks like they've done most of their write-offs on this Australian fire. At least most of the impact, I think, was in 2012. They've gotten rid of Bentley now, so their revenue is a little lower than it had been, tracking around $932 million. And their EBITDA, though, is still pretty strong, $134 million. Got any comments on their performance?
They obviously didn't lose any EBITDA when they sold Bentley, to speak of, because it was losing money.
Right.
And I like the focus here. You know, they're having some success with the floor stores. I think that's helping the revenue piece. We're seeing some signs of the U.S. marketplace stabilizing overall in commercial, and we still see the growth of tile versus broadloom. So, you know, they're effectively out of broadloom. They're enjoying that trend. So I think the surprise, if there was any in the fourth quarter, was the strength in the U.S. orders. In markets that we've been worried about, like education and government, that are relying on public tax revenue and have been under pressure, were surprisingly strong. So that helped offset the continuing difficult news coming out of Europe, and obviously they're dealing with the fire. The fire in Australia will result in, you know, lower revenue in the meantime, and they're servicing that to other plants in Asia, but they'll eventually recover some business interruption insurance into earnings. So it's hard to quantify right now, but will certainly come in perhaps a few tranches in 2013.
And, you know, they're having to replace all that. You know, they're retooling with the latest and greatest, so they should be in a pretty good position when they get that factory back running again.
Yeah, I've been through my share of fires, and it tends to obviously hurt you in the short term in terms of a service position. But assuming the insurance is correct, you get newer assets to replace older assets, and you can wind up in a strengthened position. But you got to work through the competition, perhaps making some inroads in the interim because your lead times are longer.
All right, just a quick look at Armstrong World Industries. Looks like you've got them at a hold. You know, they're two different businesses. Let's just focus on flooring for a minute. What comments do you have on them?
Well, the wood's characteristics are different from the vinyl. On the wood side, you know, demand, we're seeing the new construction piece, which is clearly helping, but we just haven't seen the repair remodel piece. They're in the big boxes as well as other places. We just haven't seen that volume come back, and we're dealing with inflation. Dramatic inflation on lumber, obviously trying to get pricing through this. So there's some tough dynamics on that side. On the vinyl, you know, we got the LVT growing. But here again, the vinyl segment has limited exposure to new resi builds. So we've got to get that fair remodel market back, and it's just not there yet. So a pretty squishy picture right now on the demand front, with the lone exception being the wood exposure to new residential construction.
But if that wood market does go where Santo's projections take us there in the catbird seat, because they're the largest producer of hardwood flooring, right?
Well, yeah, you want to be careful and separate units from dollars this year, because I assume we'll see some pretty good pricing. And, you know, it remains to be seen whether we can capture in pricing and offset fully the increasing input costs. That'll be worth watching. But there's no doubt that wood flooring demand should be up nicely in units this year compared to last year, with the new build piece probably being the biggest driver.
So your quick summary on your outlook for 13?
Well, I think in the latter half of 12, we finally saw, and it was slight, improving units across a broader spectrum of the floor covering industry. And I would expect that trend to continue into 13. As you know, I've been fairly bearish over the years of a pace of recovery or any recovery. And I think we've truly turned the corner here. Some of the leading indicators, though, are probably more positive than, you know, is going to result in demand. So you can look at that existing home sales turnover figure as a good example. You know, we've got some foreclosures and short sales. You talked about some of the Wall Street money that's involved there. So, look, it's better than nothing, right? It's better to have somebody in a home than a fallow home. But we need a little more price appreciation in homes. We need disposable personal income to go up before we're really going to see robust demand. But all the leading indicators are positive. We are seeing home equity lines starting to be used again to some degree. The turnover figures are up. The start figures are up. And I think commercial is going to be a 14 story as opposed to 13, but I don't expect it to be a down year for commercial. So got more things going in the right direction than the wrong direction. Certainly from the stock market perspective, a lot of that is discounted in the stock prices already, but there is some optimism that I think is warranted in the flooring business for 2013.
All right, John. Well, I appreciate you giving your outlook on these publicly traded flooring companies. Again, we've been talking to John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.